हरिः
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 8, Madhya Lila, talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. In verse 28, 139. So, the very name Krishna, Sri Ramananda Rai continued, the very name Krishna means that he attracts even Cupid. He is therefore attracted to everyone, right? Because everyone's attracted by Cupid. And so if Cupid's attracted by him, that means he's everybody's attractive. He is therefore attractive to everyone, male and female, moving and inert living entities, right? Even the trees and that, like that, right? Indeed, Krishna is known as the all-attractive one. So continuing where we left off, simply by engaging in the loving service of the Lord, one can attain liberation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma-bhuta prasanatman na sochati na kankshati. A person who is highly advanced in spiritual knowledge and who has attained the Brahma-bhuta stage neither laments nor hankers for anything material. That is the stage of spiritual realization. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers the Brahma-bhuta stage in two divisions, Sarup-gata and Vastu-gata. One who has understood Krishna in truth but is still maintaining some material connection is known to be situated in his sarup, his original consciousness. Right, so that's the main point of the sarup, is the consciousness. The body follows the consciousness. Right, well, you see, like it says, Haji, sarup just means the body, even though they don't have the consciousness. So where did the body come from if they don't have the consciousness? Right? When that original consciousness is completely spiritual, it is called Krishna consciousness. One who lives in such consciousness is actually living in Vrindavan. He may live anywhere. Material location doesn't matter. Then by the grace of Krishna, one thus advances. He becomes completely uncontaminated by the material body and mind, and at that time factually lives in Vrindavan. Thus, that stage is called Vastugata. One should execute his spiritual... One should execute his spiritual activities in the Sarup-gata stage of consciousness. He should also chant such spiritual mantras as Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and the Chinmayi Gayatri, the Kama Gayatri. These are the Kama Gayatri or Kambija mantras. One should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and worship Krishna with these transcendental mantras. Since every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna is naturally attractive. Due to the material covering, one's attraction for Krishna is checked. One is not usually attracted by Krishna in the material world. But as soon as one is liberated from material conditioning, he is naturally attracted. Therefore it is said in this verse, Sarva Chittak Karshaka, everyone is naturally attracted to Krishna, by Krishna. This attraction is within everyone's heart. And when the heart is cleansed, that attraction is manifested. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagnihi vapanam. So this is very interesting, is that this aspect of sarup gata and vastu gata. Right? So sarup gata means you're acting in Krishna consciousness. And it can mean also that that attempt for that consciousness. One who understands the truth is still maintaining some connections, knows to be in his sarup, his original consciousness. When that original consciousness completely spiritual is called Krishna consciousness. Right. So what we see is that the sarup means from when you start hearing about your Shravana Dasa, you start hearing about Krishna and about our relationship with Krishna. Right? Because the sarup means what's your natural position. Like Krishna Jivar Sarup Hoy, Krishna Nitya Das. Right? So that's the thing. So that is the sarup gata. Right? And then Vastu Gata is when you actually can live in Vrindavan. Right? So then means by meditation like that you're there, or he factually lives there, he has his sarup. So the Vastu is, so then the sarup gata then will bring you up to the point, then when it comes to sarup siddhi, right? So sarup gata will start from whatever you understand, you have that proper shraddha, then go up to sarup siddhi. Then Vastu gata is when you have the spiritual form, but then when that becomes you're factually living it, now you're there. Does that make sense? Then it's Vastu Siddhi. It means you're never leaving. Is that? Yes, whether they use these terms or not is another thing. But the point is that for us, it just means that, because the point is, Vastu means Sarup Siddhi comes after it within Apandas. Because then the Sarup, you can say, is perfect because now you're actually directly associated with Krishna in the pastimes. Right? So it becomes a proper aspect. Right? But then when the mood becomes actually proper, or it comes to prema, then that'll be the Vastu. Means the Siddhi. But it appears here, as he's saying, the Vastu Gata will be from when you actually are living in Vrindavan. So that could mean that it's Vastu Gata, but it's not Sarup Siddhi. So there can be an overlap. So they're talking about these two aspects. No? Interesting. No? And this is in the context of Krishna being the all-attractive. Right, so that means this is the Madan Mohan aspect. Right? So then that's about establishing your relationship and all that. So naturally this would come up in the conversation. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. But it's always very interesting, just when you think you've got down the terminology and you've figured it all out, then something new comes up. And the fun part, this has always been here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's just now when we're reading it, we go, hey. You know? So. When Krishna left the Rasa Leela dance, the gopis became very morose. And when they were grieving, Krishna reappeared dressed in yellow garments, wearing a flower garland and smiling. He was attractive even to Cupid. In this way, Krishna appeared among the gopis. Footnote 14. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-2. Each and every devotee has a certain type of transcendental mellow in relation to Krishna. But in all transcendental relationships, the devotee is the worshipper, Ashraya, and Krishna is the object of worship, Vishaya. Let Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be glorified. By virtue of his expanding attractive features, he subjugated the gopis named Taraka and Pali and absorbed the minds of Shama and Lalita. He is the most attractive lover of Srimati Radharani and the reservoir of pleasure for devotees in all transcendental mellows. Footnote 15. This is the opening verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada. Everyone has a particular transcendental mellow by which he loves and serves Krishna. Krishna is the most attractive feature for every kind of devotee. He is therefore called Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the transcendental form of attraction for all kinds of devotees. whether the devotee be in the Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya Rasa. So he's attracted to everybody. So, because that's what he's attracted even to liberated souls. So let alone those who actually have Rati. 2, 4, 143, 146. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. Krishna is the all-attractive for devotees in all mellows, because he is the personification of the conjugal mellow. Krishna, because the conjugal mellow is the Adi Rasa, so that means all rasas are expanding from that. So naturally, if he's the personification of that, he'll be attractive to everyone. Krishna is not only attractive to all the devotees, but to himself as well. Quote, my dear friends, just see how Sri Krishna is enjoying the season of spring, with the gopis embracing each of his limbs. He is like amorous love personified. With his transcendental pastimes, he enlivens all the gopis and the entire creation with his soft bluish black arms and legs, which resemble blue lotus flowers. He has created a festival for Cupid. Footnote 16. This is a verse from Gita Govinda 1.11. He also attracts Narayan, who is the incarnation of Sankarsana and the husband of the goddess of fortune. He attracts not only Narayana, but also all women, headed by the goddess of fortune, the consort of Narayana. Addressing Krishna and Arjuna, Lord Mahavishnu, the Mahapurush, said, I wanted to see both of you, and therefore I brought the sons of the Brahmana here. Both of you have appeared in the material world to re-establish religious principles. You have both appeared here with all your potencies. After killing all the demons, please quickly return to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.89.58 concerning Krishna's endeavor to take Arjuna beyond the material universe when Arjuna was searching for the sons of a Brahmana. Lord Mahavishnu is situated beyond the material world, was also attracted by the bodily features of Krishna. Mahavishnu had actually stolen the sons of the Brahmana in Dwarka so that Krishna and Arjuna would come visit him. This verse is quoted to show that Krishna is so attractive that he attracts Mahavishnu. Sure, they would have been taken care of very nicely, the sons of the Brahmins. So. Yeah. So all features of Krishna, he's attractive to everybody. Right? So he's attractive to his expansions. You know, he's attractive to his energies. You know, so he's what everyone is attracted to. Like we were discussing this morning. Everything that we find as a value, there's an attraction. That attraction is actually Krishna. But we mistake it to be the material energy. But it's the vibhuti of Krishna. It's his opulence. It's his qualities that we're attracted to. 2.8.147.166. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how this serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Footnote 17. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36 was spoken by the wives of Kaliya's serpent. Lord Krishna's sweetness is so attractive that it steals away his own mind. Thus, he wants to embrace himself. Upon seeing his own reflection in a bejeweled pillar of his Dwarka palace, Krishna desired to embrace it, saying, Alas, I have never seen such a person before. Who is he? Just by seeing him, I have become eager to embrace him, exactly like Srimati Radharani. Footnote 18. This is a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava, 8.34. Yeah. Yeah, because who is he? Because he's ever fresh. You know, so every time you see, it's like he's different. Not that it's a different feature, but it's just, you know, you see someone, oh yeah, I know that guy. But you see, and then it's like fresh. It's just, It's every always like that. So. Sri Ramananda Rai then said, I have thus briefly explained the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now let me describe the position of Srimati Radharani. Krishna has unlimited potencies, which can be divided into three main parts. These are the spiritual potency, Chit Shakti, the material potency, Maya Shakti, and the marginal potency, Jiva Shakti, which is known as the living entities. We saw, it was in Nectar Devotion, or it was in the other, mentioned that Chit Shakti means Sat Chit Ananda. So it's the Shakti of those three. So that's why it's Sarup Shakti. His form is Sat Chit Ananda. So the Sarup Shakti then has Shaktis that are emanating from Sat, from Chit, and Ananda. Does that make sense? So it's the natural counterpart. So the Sarup means it's full, it's complete. Because it's the energy of his Sarup, of his form. Does that make sense? Then you have the expansions of Radharani, and they will be certain aspects. So they might be, Sandini, Sambit, Ladini, or different aspects or combinations. Does that make sense? No? Yes, because that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about. Because you have coming from his form, is from his sarup. Because you have Sat Chit Ananda, then you have his sarup shakti. So that'll have then three aspects. From Sat, you'll get the internal, external, and marginal potencies. From the Chit, then you'll get the Jnana, Kriya, and Icha. And then from Ananda, you'll get the Sandini, Samvit, Ladini. Because they're all, you can all put them like this, and then you say, this is all Sambandha, this is all Abhideya, this is Prayojana. But even within, because you take any one of them, within it, it has all three. So you can put them this way also. So this way they connect, but then they also connect to the Sat Chit Ananda. Does that make sense? So the means in the Sambandha aspect is his relationships with the internal potency, the jivas, or with the external potency. Right? The influence on that, the prabhava. So that was the vibhava, right? Because vibhava, you have ashray, vishay, like this. In the prabhava, then that means what gives the influence. So it's his desires. Then there's, his creative potency is knowledge. Because then when those then combine, then you get the different features. Like when the Icha Shakti with the Chit Shakti, then you get the Dham, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. Right? When it combines with the, did I get that correct? Then you get the flavors that will come from it. Then the Anubhava will be the Sambit, Sandini, Ladini. So then the Ladini potency, supported by Sambit, Sandini. And within the pastimes, then you get the tastes. Does that make sense? Yeah, before. This is what we've always talked about before. We've just never put it this way. We've always just kept it this way. But when you put it this way, then it starts to actually, you can see the connections. Because if it's his desire, that's why you have the Dham, his devotees, the pastimes, everything is there. But then the Kriya will manifest the realms. Right? So they're there because he desires it. Then they're manifest by the Kriya. Right? Also, then you get all Vaikuntha, everything else like that. Yes?
In the end of Bhagavad Sandarbha, it explains about the spiritual potencies and then how the material counterpart of that.
The material counterparts, yes. Because it's also, when it applies on the living entities, you get the devotees, you get the demigods, you get the humans, you get the demons, rakshasas, like this. So it's just a matter of which aspect is influencing.
Counterparts.
counterparts. That's coming up in?
The end of Bhagavad Sandarbha.
End of Bhagavad Sandarbha. Oh.
It ends with that. After that, just explain how devotees can only realize Bhagavad.
Okay. So, coming up soon.
Shakti and Chit Shakti
at the same place. See? Srup Shakti and Chit Shakti. Yes. Because you can also say Chit Shakti means this, you know, Sat Chit Ananda.
Yes.
But then generally when you're saying in this context about his internal potency, you say the Chit Shakti. Then that means that the Srup means all the aspects. So Srimati Radharani herself manifests as the Vlad, personification of the Vladini. Because everything else is supporting. You know, he has the desire, Icha. Right? And at the same time, is then there's the control of all that. So you see, on the other side, then that would be like Purnamasi. Because she arranges everything, but the taste from it, the Ananda, is coming from Radharani. Because Purnamasi is also explained as Sarup Shakti. But she's the, you know, it's like Balaram is to Krishna, so Purnamasi is to Radharani. Does that make sense? Balaram arranges everything because he's in charge of Kriya and Jnana. So she also then is the energy that takes care of all that. So you see, in the pastime, she's arranging all the things. You know, it says, Yogamaya did this, this, that. By Yogamaya's arrangement, then, you know, the cowherd boys are thinking, you know, oh, Krishna will save it. What is it? What this demon can do? You know, they're so confident, they're so proud. And like that, and so then they just march into his mouth, you know. Yes.
In Lalita Mata, that's why the role of the director is of Purnamasi. And then Vrinda Devi plays like the assistant director.
Yeah, because Vrinda arranges everything, but only within conjugal rasa. Purnamasi does the whole thing. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so you have all these aspects. One position you put it, they'll be in one, but you shift it to the next one, it has a slightly different flavor. Right? And then... Is that... No?
No, I have to write it down and see how it all happens, because otherwise... You mentioned it, actually, I remember now, but...
Yeah, it comes up regularly. But it's one of those things that's like, only now it's kind of like, we can relate to that, okay, there's these five main rasas and the seven, and that they have the friends and that, and there's something like this. But even when we go through, it's like, which one's which? And so it may take another few times before it, you know. But otherwise, before it was just like nothing, you know.
That's how mind goes into offline mode.
Offline mode, yes. Yes. Yes.
We worship Devi that Vrindavi Krishna Maharaj. She had such a prominent service. She was assisting Paul Master service. And yet, when we read past them, very, very
because they're only bringing out prominent because she's arranging in the back, because the rasa, the interaction will be with the others, because they're assisting in that way Radharani, because then that Ladini aspect, but then, you know, because she'll be taking care of the Sandini aspect. A Purnamasi will be, you know, be dealing with the Sambit, you know, like that, or that, you know, some, you know. Means they're all connected, because in the spiritual platform, you don't make these distinctions. We only make it so that we start to figure out what's going on, and then it makes sense to us because we, you know, we have to feel that we know everything and like that. But so she'll be in the background. So if you're just mentioning main characters, because there's so many characters, like you don't see him mentioning the maidservants either. So if they're not mentioning the maidservants, there's a good chance they won't be mentioning Vrinda. But if they're mentioning maidservants, then they'll probably be mentioning her also. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because otherwise, it's just the main players are talked about. Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, like that. And you know, that's there. You know, Mother Jashoda and, you know, a few of the cowherd boys. Yes.
Just like in a drama, the purpose of drama is to attract the audience and then give them that, live their,
consciousness.
So there, only the actors and actresses are seen, but what is going on in the background, it's not shown to normal people because then they may get distracted.
From the main thing.
From the main thing. Similarly, these people, like Lalita Madhava, they come as that extra aspect of how the involvement of the director and script or assistants are there. Mm-hmm. Only then it's bought out. Like first time we see Purnamasi and then.
But then they'll generally be on that side stage.
Side stage.
When they talk,
then
the main thing, yeah. No? You have that. Yes. All that. But here is also, as in the Sanskrit drama, you have the main stage. And you have two wings. They're their own stage. So then let's say Purnamasi is coming out, she's talking in that, Vrinda comes and joins her. And then she'll say, oh, they're coming, let's go hide in the bush. So then they'll go over to that stage, and then this stage will run. The middle stage will be Krishna and Radharani and the gopis and all that. And then they'll make comments now and again so that we know what's going on. Like that. Does that make sense? And you can even have on the other side, like I think there's one in Chaitanya Chandradoinatika, that's happening, and on the other side is Narad Muni and someone else. Like they were there first, and then they came, and then they went off, and then the main stage came. It was Lord Chaitanya in his pastime. So at one point, the Narad Muni says, "Oh, we'll leave now," because you know whatever they'll add was gone from the drama. Has been said. So then they leave, and then the other stage is there, and at some point they disappear. So it's just very, you know, advanced techniques of drama that you don't see in contemporary drama. A little bit you have in some of them, if they use it in the Shakespearean stage, it has those wings. But much of the time they just use it as the main actors go over there for doing something and then come back. But it's not really as well developed.
In Shakespeare plays,
they also involve the Ken? Well, here it's about getting their emotions and that, so you don't have to get them to, you know, chant Jai Radhe or something. But, you know, you can use that. That's especially if it's just one of these impromptu kind of things devotees do, then, yeah, you can get everyone. Krishna has unlimited potencies which can be divided into three main parts. These are the spiritual potency, chit-shakti, the material potency, maya-shakti, and the marginal shakti, which are known as the living entities. In other words, these are all potencies of God, internal, antaranga, external, bahiranga, and marginal, tatastha. By the internal potency is the Lord's personal energy, shurup-shakti, stands over the other two. The original potency of Lord Vishnu is superior or spiritual, and the living entity actually belongs to that superior energy. But there is another energy called the material energy, and this third energy is full of ignorance. Footnote 19. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 6.7.61. Originally, Lord Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. The transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Therefore, his personal potency, the internal potency, has three different forms. Right? So it's because there's Satchidananda, that's why the expansion of the energies also have three forms. Right? Hladini is this aspect of bliss, Sandini of internal existence, and Samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. Right? So here is that you have the three that way, but you have the three the other. Has three different forms. Therefore, his personal energy, the internal potency, has three different forms. So it has, that has then the Samvit, Sandini, Hladini. So it's the internal potency, but it has these three features. Right? Down here. My Lord, you are the transcendental reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Your pleasure potency, existence potency, and knowledge potency are actually all one internal spiritual potency. The conditioned soul, although actually spiritual, sometimes experiences pleasure, sometimes pain, and sometimes a mixture of pain and pleasure. This is due to his being touched by matter. But because you are above all material qualities, these are not found in you. Your spiritual superior spiritual potency is completely transcendental. And for you, there is no such thing as relative pleasure. Pleasure mixed with pain, or pain itself. Right? So when you say relative pleasure, because it's relative to the situation you're in. For you, it's great. For someone else, it's not. But it doesn't say relative pain. That's pretty general. Everybody has. The potency called Ladini gives Krishna transcendental pleasure. Through this transcendental pleasure, Krishna personally tastes all spiritual pleasure. Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness, although he himself is happiness personified. The pleasure relished by his pure devotees is also manifested by his pleasure potency. So that's why if you're just liberated, then it's how much ananda you have. That's it. You know, being yourself, being freed from material nature, that's going to be good. But there's just that much ananda. But here it's by his internal potency, his pleasure potency, then the devotees taste transcendental pleasure in their pastimes with them. So he's unlimited, the potencies are unlimited. Right. The most essential part of his pleasure potency is love of Godhead, prema. Consequently, the explanation of love of Godhead is also a transcendental mellow, full of pleasure. Right? So even when you discuss it, it'll also be, you know, something very special, very wonderful. The essential part of love of Godhead, right, so it means of prema, then the essential part is Mahabhava. Transcendental ecstasy. And that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. Quote, among the gopis, right? So, in other words, of that ladini, then you have the spiritual pleasure, then there's going to be prema, right? And within prema, the essence is then Mahabhava. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and another gopi are considered chief. But when we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is the most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. Because the other feature won't get past the first stage of Mahabhava. Radharani gets it manifests the third stage, and her associates the second. But it's all Mahabhava, right? And so it's just the two different flavors, right? The ecstasy of love experienced by the other gopis cannot be compared to that of Srimati Radharani. 21. This is a quotation from Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjwala Nilamani, Radha Prakarana 3. The body of Srimati Radharani is a veritable transformation of love of Godhead. So it's just, her form is just that of love of Godhead. And you take love of Godhead and its form is Radharani. Right? The ecstasy of love experienced by the other gopis, oh no. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna. And this is known throughout the world. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. 22. This is a quotation from the Brahma Samhita 537. Right, so you have two verses, you just put one right after the other. You know, Krishna, his position, and then Radha, hers. You know, so it's just, you have Radha and Krishna with those two verses. Yeah, so they embody the extensions of her bodily form, who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. That's why they taste Mahabhava on that second level. Right? Because they're imbued with that, while the other gopi is not. So. That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the topmost spiritual gem, and the other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, and so on, are expansions of her spiritual body. Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental fragrances. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. Because the massage means it's active. So it's going to be dynamic. Because here you notice in this section, now they're discussing Govinda. So how he's interacting before is how he's the all-attractive. And then his position, his potencies and everything, then having established that, then of that, then his internal potency of that Radharani, and then now the interaction between Radha and Krishna. Is that? Yeah? No? Srila Prabhupada. Huh? Is it like going like this? Or? Sorry? Okay. Well, means from falling asleep or in ecstasy. So I mean that's a good thing. Everyone's awake, so that's a start. That's a start. No. Yeah, and your position is very dangerous. You could fall outside there and end up in the garden there. You know, and no one would see you. You'd fall off there and we'd be leaving. Did he leave earlier? What happened? You know? Then the next morning at class, we see you dragging him. What? No. Srila Prabhupada. Sugandhi Urdhvartana refers to a paste made of several perfumes and fragrant oils. This paste is massaged all over the body, and in this way the body's dirt and perspiration are removed. Oh, Urdhvartana, okay, yes. Srimati Radharani's body is automatically perfumed, but when her body is massaged with the sedent paste of the Lord's affection, her entire body is doubly perfumed and made brilliant and lustrous. Right? Because in the interaction, then you see, like it saw happiness. First thing is that the eyes, the cheeks, there's a energy there. So then this, then it's one becomes brilliant. So that's why it's Ujjvala Rasa, it's most brilliant. Right? This is the beginning of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. This description, found in verses 165 to 181, that's what we just read? Oh, no, it's the beginning. Aha. Okay. Is based on a book by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, known as Premam Bhoja Maranda. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation of the original Sanskrit reads as follows. Oh, of these verses, wow. Okay. Okay, so this is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation of Raghunath Das Goswami's book. The love of the gopis for Krishna is full of transcendental ecstasy. It appears to be a brilliant jewel, and enlightened by such a transcendental jewel, Radharani's body is further perfumed and decorated with kumkuma. Right? So these things, because these rasas and that, they're tastes. They're flavors, fragrances like this. And so they're appreciating them. And then from this, then they're saying, those are there, so that's your basis. Then on top of that, then other things are put. In the morning, her body is bathed in the nectar of compassion. In the afternoon, in the nectar of youth. And in the evening, in the nectar of luster itself. In this way, the bathing is performed, and her body becomes as brilliant as a Chintamani jewel. She is dressed in various kinds of silken garments, one of which is her natural shyness. Right, so the garment itself is the natural shyness. So that's the whole point, that sari has that aspect of the natural shyness. So that's why you see she can cover, she can, you know, it means Krishna is dealing with her. She can pull the cloth, you know, over her face. Right? The other gopis can see she's smiling, but Krishna thinks she's upset, you know, because she's saying, you know, go away, like this. But does that make sense? Yeah? Yes. Compassion, youth, and luster. It's luster. You don't like compassion, youth, and luster? See, is that we do things, we just take a bath. But the whole point is these are ornaments of Radharani. And they take this form of bath and that. So it's just a nice way of doing things. That's why then here, we have all these things. You know, for us it's a sadhana, why we have to do all these things and this and that. Yes?
Madhurya Ras, when it's mixed with this compassion aspect, then it becomes like magnanimity, the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Mm. So this is considered as one of the main ingredients of Madhurya Bhava. Jiva Goswami explained in Sri Sangha. That's the point.
Yes, because the, what do you call it? The Karuna, because it's also known, Madhurya Rasa is also known as Karuna, which means that compassion. Because it's that such consideration for the other individual, taking care of their, you know, because compassion means somebody has a need you're taking care of. So then if you're dealing in the fullest Rasa, then taking care of that need within the conjugal Rasa, of that interaction, that the expression of that Rati or that attraction. And that interaction, then that takes on that flavor. That makes sense? Yeah. So that's why, at this point, they mention many nice things. They don't necessarily go farther. Because, see, the danger comes is that because we're going to connect things to things we know. That's how we learn. I know something, you say something else. I have to be able to connect it to what I already know. If I see the immediate connection, it immediately moves on. When it doesn't, then I have to, you know, work it out until it does connect. So that's why the repetition and this and that from different angles, then you start to get it where it connects. So then these things that they mention, we can relate to those and we connect and they're nice and that makes Radharani the superior. But if we take it further, you know, like then the difficulty comes is then you come up with activities of the pastimes, because here it's just their situations, who they are and how they reciprocate based on this platform of this you know, mutual affection. Because from that we can't do anything. But as soon as we take it into detail, then immediately we may have material experiences of that, and then we connect it there. And that won't help us develop love for Krishna. So until we stop connecting it like that, there's no point in hearing those things. So that's why you'll notice, even though, you know, we talk about so many things, but like we see in Nectar Devotion, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Krishna's, when he gives so many nice details and other things and practical points and personal interactions of all the other rasas, but when he gets to Madhura Rasa, he doesn't. He just mentions the mood, mentions the attraction, and he stops there. He doesn't take it one step further. When he mentions that, he just stops there. Because more than that, then we wouldn't appreciate it. Does that make sense? Yes. But that's why it's in another book, because in that book it's known as that, and so, you know, unless you can appreciate it, don't read it. You know, it's like, I think Gauranga Deepika, I'm not sure who that's by.
Kavi
Karnapur. Right in the beginning, he says that, you know, what was being spoken here, this is the reality. If you don't understand it, think it's not like that, don't read the book. He just says it right up front. Because he's saying, you know, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, they're Nanda Yashoda, they're Devaki Vasudev, you know, Prishni and Sutapa, you know, how you say, Dasarat and what is it? Who is it? Kaushalya? Yeah, like this. Mentions like seven different ones. You know, also Kasyapa, Diti, like that. And if you go, how can they be all right that? As soon as you say that, put the book down, walk away. It's that's the way it is. And if you accept it, then it's like that. If not, walk away from the book. So that's the thing with these others, is if people go, how can that be or this, then you shouldn't be reading the book. So that's the difficulty, is that one has these aspects. So the point is, it's just like, let's say, we like math, okay? You know, and we're a kid, we like math, and it's very fun. But now if we go into the library and we pull out, you know, one of the father's books on quantum physics and all that, and, you know, think, okay, this is going to be good, and start reading, and it doesn't mean anything. But as you advance, then it's very, very real. So if it's just a matter of, let's say in the story, it's a story no one's heard because it has different facts in it or something like that, it's nice. It encourages the sambandha of it's a nice pastime, so Krishna's nice, the devotees are nice, and like that. But much of the time, those pastimes are written for those who will taste the pastime. So depending on what it is, sometimes they may write it that it can be appreciated, like Chamakar Chandrika. Then, you know, many of the things that could be just in general appreciated. But at the same time, as it's written about the rasa that's there, with the taste that they have. Does that make sense? Yeah. So yeah. And you see, is the only thing, if say they do that as a drama, the only thing they can do actually bring out and emphasize is the flavor of the emotions. They can't use the physical interactions. Does that make sense? So, it's just a matter of, yeah. Yeah, so it's just a matter, it's a very nice subject matter. But these whole points here, because these will be actually, you know, connected with herself. It's also the compassion, the nectar of youth, and then the luster. So those will also be connected with her, because Krishna, then there's the three features, right? Satchidananda, and she being the counterpart of that. Then also all of her moods and everything is going to be in those three forms. That's why Lord Chaitanya, he came to taste Radharani's love, but it's three forms of that love. So one is Sambandha, one's Abhideya, one's Payojana. Does that make sense? But otherwise, unless there's a commentary, then we may not know. I mean, we will know at one point, but right now. In this way, the bathing is performed, and her body becomes as brilliant as the Chintamani jewel. She is dressed in various kinds of silken garments, one of which is her natural shyness. Because also silk flows very nicely. You know, everything's very nice like that. It's very... Her beauty is more and more enhanced, being decorated with the red kumkuma of beauty itself and the blackish musk of conjugal love. Right? So it's just these are these points. They're just, we would just think she's getting dressed, but they actually represent these qualities. Because you're saying what's for is these qualities. And so these qualities will be manifest in her pastimes. Okay. Thus her body is decorated with different colors. Right, so different kinds of flavors and different rasas that are there. Her ornaments embody the natural symptoms of ecstasy. Trembling, tears, jubilation, stunning, perspiration, faltering of the voice, bodily redness, madness, and dullness. Right, so all the different ornaments, they also then take on all those qualities. Because I'm not sure if it mentions here, but then she always has the earrings, the studs, you know, the nose ring. Then she'll have, you know, the one on the top here. I forget what that one's called. Tika. Then there'll be the necklaces, the armlets, the bracelets, the ankle belts. So these will all represent different ecstasies. The belt also, yes. In this way, her entire body is bedecked with these nine different jewels. So there's nine kinds of jewels. Like that. Over and above this, the beauty of her body is enhanced by her transcendental qualities, which constitute the flower garland hanging on her body. So her garland is her qualities. The ecstasy of love of Krishna is known as Dhira and Adhira. Sober and restless. Such ecstasy constitutes the covering of Srimati Radharani's body, and it is adorned by camphor. Right? Because her cloth is always, after you wash it, it's the final rinse. You know, it means you wash to clean it. Then, after it's, you know, rinsed and everything, then it's rinsed in camphor. The water has camphor. Then it's put to dry. So it'll always have that camphor flavor. Also, before, they always would keep clothes in trunks of made of camphor wood. Because it has that slight camphor smell. Bugs won't eat the wood. And that means they won't eat your cloth. I'm sure Radharani doesn't have any problem with that, but... I'm sure that the queens did. Her transcendental anger towards Krishna is embodied by the arrangement of the hair on her head. And the tilak of her great fortune shines on her beautiful forehead. Right. Srimati Radharani's earrings are the holy names of Krishna, as well as hearing of his name and fame. So they're always right there in her ears. So they're right there. Sort of. Her lips are always reddish due to the betel nut of ecstatic affection for Krishna. The black ointment around her eyes is a tricky behavior with Krishna brought about by love. Her joking with Krishna and gentle smiling constitute the camphor with which she is perfumed. Because that makes that subtle. Because camphor is also, it's very, how you say? It brings a freshness. It brings a lightness. Like you see in the Vedic, they would use camphor. You're using very heavy fragrances, and they put camphor to give that element of lightness, and it balances. Like in the modern perfumes, they'll use some citrus. It'll be heavy things, and they'll put some citrus like that. So like that, then it does that. Yeah.
She sleeps. Could one also say that with camphor, that not too much, like not too much, not too little. It is with camphor their flavor.
Maybe.
Because it said here her general smiling and joking, like.
Could be, but it'll be balanced. But I mean, everything has its balance. Yes, but yes, you could. It means all the others also, they're not putting too much. It's not she's got 10 earrings or something. Yes. But that's a mess. Her joking with Krishna, okay. She sleeps in her room with the aroma of pride. And when she lies down on her bed, the transcendental variety of her loving ecstasies is like a jeweled locket in the midst of her necklace of separation. Her transcendental breasts are covered by her sari in the form of affection and anger towards Krishna. Affection and anger. She has a stringed instrument known as a kachapi vina, which is the fame and fortune that actually dries up the face and breasts of the other gopis. Right? Yeah. So, just when she plays, it's just so, you know, perfect, but at the same time as she plays better. Kachapi vina is, you ever seen, have you seen a Surbahar? No. Okay. You said a guitar. It's like, you've seen like prasitars or tamburas, you've seen those. Right? Or you've seen Rudravina? No? Rudravina means the pumpkin is completely whole, round 360 degrees. Right? There's two of them. Sitar and tambura means you take the vena in the front quarter you cut off. So then you put the front plate, you know, the wooden plate that will be the face of the guitar, the sitar that you play on. Yeah. And so the back is round. Because you've taken the pumpkin and it sits in its natural way. And then you cut off the front. Kachapi vina means you cut off the top. So that round back is thin and it's round. Then that's put up this way and then the face is put on. And then, you know, the neck and that. So it's very good for playing slow. Very exact rhythms and everything like that. Sorry? Generally, the standard venas have seven. Four main strings, and then three, what they call, chikaris that you play. They're just set to, you know, sa or sa pa, like this. Like that. You also have, you know, the santur, you know, it's got so many strings, or the in the West they call it auto harp. Kind of like a rectangular with that angle on it, and then you just strum it like that. So you have so many kind. Anything with strings on it is a vina. Like that. Does that make sense? You know. And so they would maintain that natural kind of form in that until the Italians and Spanish got a hold of them. But you see, they started before the lutes and all that had the thing like that, and it was a very similar thing how they played them and everything. I think guitars came later, somewhat, like some, you know, a few hundred years after that.
No. Violin is also from there?
Violin, you have the Mayuri vina. It's a vina where the bottom looks like a peacock, and they play it with a bow, like that. You know, like you could say you're. More contemporary instrument of that would be like your Dilruba and Esraj. You probably know Esraj. Esraj is that small one. Then Dilruba is the same thing but bigger. You know, it's like a cello is for a violin. And then you have the Mayuri Vina will be more big than that. And you also have, I think Ravana made the Sarod. No, not the Sarod. Not the Santur. It has like 30 strings. It's real short, shorter than the Esraj, but very solid. And it's unique as you play it with the back of your nails. Normally you put your fingers on top and push them down. This one you push your fingers up and you play on, you use the nails as the fret board. So you have to get some calluses there. But previously, you know, in more time, that would always be used as backup. Like now they use harmonium. If you go back, you know, 100, 200 years, they'd use that. Sarangi. Yes, sarangi. So there are all kinds of Venas, but hers is Kachapi Vena. You see Rudra Vena she'll play. There's also a small one called Tritantri Vena. That'll be the closest to like what this modern sitar is. But, she always keeps her hands on the shoulder of her gopi friend, who represents her youthful beauty. And although she is highly qualified with so many assets, she is nonetheless affected by the Cupid known as Krishna. Thus, she is defeated. Even though she has so many good qualities, and she defeats all other gopis, she's defeated by Krishna. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami offers his respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani, taking a straw in his mouth. Indeed, he prays, O Gandharvika, Srimati Radharani, just as Lord Krishna never rejects a surrendered soul, please don't reject me. End quote. This is a summary translation of the Premam Bhoja Maranda, which Kaviraj Goswami quotes. Yes?
So it sounds like a poetic description and using allegories.
Yes. Yes. But those actually qualities are how they're sitting. Because, see, originally everything's personal. You know, because it's always going to have those qualities, it's going to have those effects like that. We're used to qualities producing things. But actually, it's the qualities produce rasa. Like that. So they use it that way. But when we leave out Krishna, because rasa means pleasing Krishna, then we deal with all these things the other way. We take it to the mechanical. That's why the mechanical for us is so important. You know, so if mechanics are good, we'll say it's good. Even if the experience isn't great, we'll, you know. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, the guys have, you know, been in the garage tinkering this, that, you know, they pulled out the engine and everything, they somehow or another, you know, taken it apart, put it back together and that, put on new fittings, this, that, and everything, then they're all sitting around expectantly like that, the guy pushes the button, it turns on, you know, the roar, the sound, the men are in ecstasy. And the women are, what's the big deal? You can't do anything with it, which literally you cannot. Right now, it does nothing. Put it in the car. We can go down the road. Now we'll talk. So that's the thing. Just the mechanical aspect is just so... Yes, yes. Because it's the masculine aspect, so you have to put the two together. So the point is, this taste comes, and the masculine aspect is applied within the sphere of the feminine. Then it has a meaning. Does that make sense? If it's just guys, then you have to drag race, right? Because you just have to show how mechanically good it is. But if the girl's in the car, you don't have to do that. You can just drive around slowly and cool and that, you know, just soak in the good vibes, right? No? Yes?
Also, like, we had like beauty is enhanced by qualities. Now here we can see.
Yes.
Each quality, how it enhances the beauty from our materialistic perspective, you see, okay, this thing adds some beauty from it.
Yeah. So in other words, it's starting from, Krishna has all these qualities, these are how they manifest. Right? Means, Mother Jashoda, there's a mood, therefore there's the form. That's the 55th verse of Brahma Samhita. Right? So in the same way as these qualities have their nature, then this is where they manifest. So that's why these certain things work very nicely. Any of these arrangements that are here, if girls do that, they'll be attractive. They don't know why, it's just this is the thing to do. No. Like the black ointment around her eyes is a tricky behavior for her with Krishna brought about by love. You know, when it's on a pirate, it's just tricky behavior. No? That's why, you know, other guys wear it, it doesn't match. Pirates wear it, they look good. Right? Because they're tricky. No? Yeah. You know, our little kids, they you put cudgel on them, they look nice because they're always clever and doing some mischief and stuff like that. Yeah. Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. Her different qualities may be divided into four categories. Namely, one, qualities pertaining to her person. Two, qualities pertaining to her words. Three, qualities pertaining to her mind. And four, qualities pertaining to her relationship with others. Right? So body, mind, and words, and then the relationship, your body, mind, and words, and this relationship with others. She possesses six qualities in regard to her person. Three in regard to her words. 10 in regard to her mind, and 6 in regard to her relationship with others. The description of these different qualities is very vividly given in the Ujjvala Nilama. Vritti. The six qualities, this is taken from Ujjvala Nilama, or just doesn't say. Okay. The six qualities pertaining to a person are that she is one sweet. What is this? Six and three is nine. 10, 19. And six is 25. Ah, so these are the 25 qualities. Okay, cool. Okay. The six qualities pertaining to a person are that she is one sweet, two a fresh maiden, three she has enchanting sidelong glances, and four a glowing smile. She is 5, decorated with auspicious signs on her hands and feet, etc. 6, her bodily fragrance is potent to enmadden Madhava himself. The three qualities in regard to her words are, she is 1, highly talented in music and song, 2, expert in speaking attractively, and 3, clever in making plays on words. Right, so those, we see those three go together very nicely. Her qualities of mind are, she is 1, modest, 2, compassionate, 3, expert, 4, clever, 5, shy, 6, mannerly, 7, calm and patient, 8, grave, 9, knowledgeable in the ways of love, and 10, possessing of the highest perfection of love, namely Mahabhava. Radha's 6 qualities regarding her dealings with others is, 1, she is 1, the object of all Braja's love. 2, her glories are spread throughout the entire creation. 3, she is treated with the greatest affection by all the older folk in Braja. She is 4, controlled by the devotion of her girlfriends. And is 5, the chief of all those beloved of Krishna. Finally, 6, Krishna himself is always ready to obey her slightest command. 2:8-167. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. Srimati Radharani takes her first bath in the shower of the nectar of compassion, and he takes her second bath in the nectar of youth. Might be, now we're getting some purports, so maybe you'll get something here. Right? Because he said it before, now he's going through and explain. Oh, wait a minute. Where was this? Oh, no, because here he is. He just gave what was there and just straight the translation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's. And she and takes her second bath in the nectar of youth, Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani first smears her body with a paste of Krishna's affection for her. She then takes her bath in the water of mercy. After passing the Pauganda age from 5 to 10 years, Srimati Radharani first appears as mercy. The second bath is taken at noon in the water of Tarunyamrita, or the nectar of youth. This is the actual expression of her new youthfulness. Yes. Okay. 2:8-168. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. After her midday bath, Radharani takes another bath in the nectar of bodily luster, and she puts on garments of shyness. which is her black silk sari. Right? So that's the whole point of the sari. So people don't, generally you'll see those who don't want to wear it because they're not shy. Because that's the thing, is that it naturally has that thing, you can use it that way. But if you're never going to use, then it doesn't have any, you don't feel that there's any point to it. No, but it's the sari itself is the nature of it. Otherwise, it would say, you know, her black, you know, how you say, denim jacket. You know. But it doesn't. Right? Yeah, of course, it means it's a short denim jacket, you know. It's not high, it's above the navel. You know, come on. Huh? Swarovski, yeah. I think that one's maybe on her leather jacket. Yeah. The black leather jacket.
Okay. Hmm?
Srila Prabhupada, over and above the other baths, the bath taken at the afternoon is taken in the nectar of full beauty. This nectar represents the personal qualities of beauty and luster. Thus, there are three baths and three different kinds of water. Radharani then puts on two garments, a lower and upper garment. The lower garment is pinkish, and is her affection and attraction for Krishna. And the lower... the upper garment is pinkish. Okay. Yeah. The upper garment is pinkish, and is her affection and attraction for Krishna. And the lower garment, a blackish silk sari, is her shyness. 2, 8, 169, 175. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the sari starts out, you fold it and you tuck it in the front. Then it comes up and goes over, and then goes over the top. So it's still considered the lower garment because it comes from there. Well, the upper garment is then what you wear in the upper part of the body. The blackish means it's Krishna's color. That she wears blackish because it's Krishna's color, just like Balaram does. So Balaram and Radharani wear the same color. Right? Well, Krishna wears yellow because that's the color of Radharani. Is that... Yeah? Sri Ramananda Rai continued. Srimati Radharani's affection for Krishna is her upper garment, which is pinkish in color. When she covers her breast with another garment composed of affection and anger for Krishna. Srimati Radharani's personal beauty. Srimati Radharani's personal beauty is the reddish powder known as kunkuma. Her affection for associates is sandalwood pulp, and the sweetness of her smile is camphor. All these combined together are smeared over her body. Conjugal love for Krishna is an abundance of musk, and with that musk, her whole body is decorated. Like, because the musk will be a dark color, and so then you can draw designs and things like that with it. Craftiness and covered anger constitute the arrangement of her hair. The quality of... The quality of anger due to jealousy is the silk garment covering her body. Her attachment for Krishna is the reddish color of betel nuts on her brilliant lips. Her double dealings and loving affairs constitute the black ointment around her eyes. The ornaments decorating her body are the blazing ecstasies of goodness and the constantly existing ecstasies headed by jubilation. All these ecstasies are the ornaments all over her body. Also ornamenting her body are the 20 kinds of ecstatic symptoms, beginning with Kila Kinchita. Her transcendental qualities constitute the flower garland hanging in fullness over her body. Right. So the 20 kinds of ecstatic symptoms are there, beginning with Kila Kinshita, and that is in the form of the garland. Srila Prabhupada. The 20 different moods headed by Kila Kinshita are described as follows. First, in connection with the body, there are bhava, ecstasy, hava, gestures, and hela, negligence. In relation with the self, there is shobha, beauty, kanti, luster, and deepti, brilliance, umadhurya, sweetness, pragalbhata, impudence, audarya, magnanimity, and dharya, patience. And in relation to nature, there are lila, pastimes, vilasa, enjoyment, vichitti, breaking off, and vibhrama, puzzlement. There are no English equivalents for the words kila kinchita, motayita, and kutamita. Sorry. Stay tuned. Huh? Yeah, that's what he says. Just there are no English equivalents. Just there's nothing there. Srimati Radharani's flower garland consists of her qualities and is divided into mental, verbal, and bodily parts. Her attitude of forgiveness and mercy is all mental. Her talks, which are very pleasing to the ear, are verbal. The bodily qualities are age, beauty, luster, and grace. Yeah, so all this is in her garland. 28176-177. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. The tilak of good fortune is on her beautiful broad forehead. Her various loving affairs are a gem, and her heart is the locket. Srimati Radharani's gopi friends are her mental activities, which are concentrated on the pastimes of Sri Krishna. She keeps her hand on the shoulder of a friend who represents youth. Srila Prabhupada. Radharani's eight companions, Astasakhi, are different varieties of pleasure connected with the pastimes of Krishna. Following those pastimes of Sri Krishna are other activities, which are represented by the assistance of the gopis. So the eight gopis, then they represent all these different, all the different aspects in connection with her pastimes, right? Are the different varieties of pleasure connected with the pastimes of Krishna. So there's different flavors that'll come up, so each one represents a different aspect. And then their assistance then are further details. Huh? Yes, like that. Sometimes you have to fill in the blanks. Sorry?
We have to hear.
Oh, okay. So it means following those pastimes, says here, following those pastimes of Sri Krishna are other activities, right? Because these activities of pleasure are there, but there's other activities that follow that. It means for that pleasure, there's activities, background things to be done. So those are represented by the assistance of the gopis. So that's why you see that there's always the Radharani, then the Astasakhi, and then their assistants. Okay. 28178-187. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. Srimati Radharani's bedstead is pride itself, and it is situated in the abode of her bodily aroma. Is these same things quoted in Nectar Devotion? No. Okay, because somehow or another I always thought this description was Nectar Devotion. It's not. It's here. This is where it is, okay. Because it's a very famous section. And it is situated in the abode of her bodily aroma. She is always seated there thinking of Krishna's association. But, yeah. So the seat, the bed, the seat, there's certain things that Manu mentions that those are just, those are what belong, they belong to that, the lady. You don't mess with those. You know, she has a place where she always sits. You don't sit there. That's why when guests come in, they don't just come in and sit down. They stand there and wait to be seated so that you don't sit in somebody's seat. Right? You don't sit on their bed. You don't this and that, you know, so. You know.
This confirms that the ladies can be good because it's the same thing. You don't sit on the guru's bed.
But they are guru.
Speak nicely.
And Radharani's six qualities regarding her dealings with others. Number six. And finally, Krishna himself is always ready to obey her slightest command. But that's where she controls, is the command. No? She got it. Means it's the command, not the initiation. Yeah, so it means siksha. I said siksha, not, what is it, siksha? Or how do you say it? Yes, no? Okay, we move on. Srimati Radharani's earrings are the name, fame, and qualities of Lord Krishna. Right, so you see is that many of her ornaments and that in her cloth, they can have multiple meanings. Like you saw that the sari was her shyness, but it also had other qualities. Then the ornaments, and they have these different things, and they also have these aspects. So it's just like everything is there. Whatever is there within the pastimes is represented. Like Krishna, he is his form. The sarup is him. So her sarup is her. And they interact with each other. Does that make sense? So that everything matches perfectly. Yeah. Srimati Radharani's earrings are the name, fame, and qualities of Krishna. Right? Because she's always hearing them. So her ears, then, are always hearing. So that's the decoration of her ears, is hearing about Krishna. And that's, you know, then you have an earring. But it's actually, it's the hearing, the name, that's the ornament. The glories of Lord Krishna's name, fame, and qualities are always inundating her speech. Srimati Radharani induces Krishna to drink the honey of the conjugal relationship. She is therefore engaged in satisfying all the lusty desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a mine filled with valuable jewels of love for Krishna. Her transcendental body is complete with unparalleled spiritual qualities. Quote, if one asks about the origin of love of Krishna, the answer is that the origin is in Srimati Radharani alone. Who is the most dear friend of Krishna? The answer again is Srimati Radharani alone. No one else. Srimati Radharani's hair is very curly. Her two eyes are always moving to and fro, and her breasts are firm. Since all transcendental qualities are manifested in Srimati Radharani, she alone is able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. Right? She is the manifestation of all qualities. So therefore, she alone can please Krishna. Because other gopis being expanded, there'll be certain qualities. They won't be unlimited, all the qualities. There'll be certain aspects, you know, that perfectly fit into the pastimes. So when Radharani wants to bring out certain qualities in the pastimes, then those gopis are the prominent ones. When it's some others, then they become the prominent ones. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. She alone is able to fulfill the desires of Krishna, no one else. 23. This is quotation from Govinda Lilamrita 11.122 by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. It is a verse in the form of questions and answers describing the glories of Srimati Radharani. Even Satyabhama, one of the queens of Sri Krishna, desires the fortunate position and excellent qualities of Srimati Radharani. All the gopis learn the art of dressing from Srimati Radharani, and even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the wife of Lord Shiva, Parvati, desire her beauty and qualities. Indeed, Arundhati, the celebrated chaste wife of Vishishta, also wants to imitate the chastity and religious principles of Srimati Radharani. Right, so there, that religious principles, and that's why it mentions that what was it? Not Dhanavirya, what's the other virya? Dharmavirya, then can match with the conjugal rasa. Right? Yeah. Even Lord Krishna himself cannot reach the limit of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani, because he's unlimited, his qualities are unlimited, she is those qualities. At the same time, he has the qualities. How then can an insignificant living entity count them? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Now I have come to understand the truth of the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Nonetheless, I still want to hear how both of them gloriously enjoy such love." Right, so he's just taking it further, 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 right? Ramananda Rai replied, "Lord Krishna is Dhira Lalita, for he can always keep his girlfriends in a subjugated state." Oh, I see, because the long A would be is the feminine form, and the masculine would be the short, okay. "Thus his only business is enjoying sense gratification." Srila Prabhupada, we should always remember that Krishna's sense gratification is never be compared to the sense gratification of the material world. As we have always already explained, Krishna's sense gratification is just like gold. Perverted reflection of that sense gratification found in the material world is just like iron. The purport is that Krishna is not impersonal. He has all the desires that are manifest in the perverted reflection within this material world. However, the qualities are different. One is spiritual and the other is material. Just as there is a difference between life and death, there is a difference between spiritual sense gratification and material sense gratification. You know, just like life is considered good, death not so much. So in the same way, spiritual sense gratification of Krishna, that's good, and the material is not very great. Okay. Stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.